All right, so I'm gonna give you a few things first, and then we're gonna kind of go back to what we were kind of looking at last week in explaining verses and things. But I want to give you, this is not original with me. I did not come up with this, but I think it's a very good thing to remember. So I'm going to give you, we all know the Ten Commandments, right? So I'm going to give you 11 commandments for soul winning, right? So these are the 11 commandments. Why'd you look at me like that? No, these are from the book of Pastor Andrew. So, right? So these are 11 commandments on soul winning. All right. So I'm going to give you 11 commandments on soul winning. What happened to my screens?
Just give it a second. It'll do it about three times.
Okay. All right. 11 commandments on soul winning. Okay. Here we go. Yes.
Is this week nine? I'm trying to
nine? I believe we're on week eight. This is week eight.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'm
not going by your notes, though.
I know, but I put it in here.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. No, I haven't been going by the notes in the book.
Right.
So you're supposed to be reading the
right.
weekly notes, but I'm not actually going but through all those.
Yeah.
Right. Some of them we are. So the 11 commandments on soul winning. Number one. Always be polite, kind, and courteous. Right? Always be polite, kind, and courteous, right? Again, we want to have a good testimony. We're trying to talk about the Lord, and so always be polite, kind, and courteous, right? Titus 3:2 says, to speak evil of no man, to be no brawler, but gentle, showing all meekness unto all men, right? So we want to be polite when we go up to the door and we're talking to somebody. Be kind, be courteous. Don't be argumentative, right? How many of you, and this is, you know, unfortunate, but there's a lot of times you go up to a door and if you actually get to talk to somebody, maybe there's someone from a different religion or whatever, and they just want to argue, right? They just want to argue. And don't be like, oh, right, I finally get to talk to somebody, right? I can tell you this, if they're just wanting to argue, you're not going to win, okay? Doesn't matter what you say, you're not going to win, okay? So if you can sense that they're wanting to be argumentative or whatever, the best thing is just say, hey, well, if you ever get a chance, I'd love to have you come visit our church sometime, right? Then you can argue with the pastor, right? but it's not going to work, right? So don't think, oh, I'm going to stand here and argue with them or whatever. It just doesn't work, all right? So don't be argumentative. Just be polite, be kind, be courteous. Number two, always introduce yourself and your church, right? Make sure you've introduced who you are and who you're representing, the church, whatever, okay? So always introduce yourself. Again, some of these we've talked a little bit about, but this just kind of sums up everything here. Always introduce yourself and your church, right? One of the things, whenever I'm at a meeting or something like this, I have to remember the name of the church that I'm at if we were going out soul winning or whatever. So I'll want to go up to the door. Hey, I'm from First Baptist. I'm from Higher Plain Baptist Church or whatever the name of the church is. So make sure you introduce yourself and the name of your church. It's always good if you know what church you're representing. Uh-huh. You ever talk to people like, you go to church anywhere? Yeah. What church do you go to? Hey, honey, what's the name of that church we go? Yeah, you don't go to church. Okay, so know where you go to church, right? Number three, right? Give each person a sincere invitation to visit your church, right? You're giving them a sincere invitation to visit your church and give them a brochure or a tract or an invitation or whatever it is you're giving out, right? But be sincere about it, right? And that means when you go up to the door, if you go up to a door, you know, you can knock on the door. Somebody comes to the door. Hi, my name is Anderson. I'm from First Baptist Church. We'd like to invite you to come to church. Would you like to come to church, brother, please?
What?
So, again, part of this sincere invitation is making sure they understand what you're saying, what you're inviting them to, right? So you want to talk clear. I know sometimes nerves kind of get, you know, when somebody answers the door, we're a little bit nervous already. And then when somebody answers the door, we're like, okay, man, somebody actually answered. So we get a little bit nervous. Or we're wanting to maybe give somebody a track and we get a little bit nervous, but just take a breath, talk clearly, talk slowly. You don't, again, just you're sincere in what you're doing, but then also make sure you give that brochure, invite, track, whatever it is. But make sure you give that person a sincere invitation, right? Number four, never be forceful, inconsiderate, or overbearing, okay? Don't be forceful, don't be inconsiderate, don't be overbearing, right? Again, you be considerate when you go up to the door. If you see that they're busy, then just very quickly say, hey, we're just from First Baptist Church, just want to give you an invite, just hand it to them, you know, walk away, right? Be considerate, right? If you can see that they're busy or, you know, they're on the phone or sometimes, you know, sometimes you've got dogs, right? And the person's like trying to hold the door and, you know, you can stand there and be like, hi, I'm from First Baptist Church and this is so-and-so, we want to give you, but they're not really listening because they're trying to hold the dog in, right? Could be a big dog, could be a little dog. So if there's a dog issue or something else going on, they're on a phone or whatever, just give them a track, say, hey, I just want to leave this with you. It's just an invite to our church. Just leave it, right? And if you can't open the door, just say, I'll leave it here in the door, right? Keep the Doberman inside, right? You know, I don't want them to come out. So just leave it in the door or something like that. But don't be forceful. You know, if somebody does open the door and you try to talk to them, whatever, and they start to shut the door, don't put your foot in the door, okay? That's not a good thing to do, all right? You might get tased, you might get shot, you might get the cops called on you, whatever. Don't do that, all right? Again, be considerate, right? Don't be overbearing, okay? So don't be forceful, inconsiderate, or overbearing. Number five, never criticize another person's beliefs. Don't criticize another person's beliefs. Right? You know, if you go up to a door and, you know, there's a flag on the door that you can tell they are probably very pro-LGBTQ or something like that. Don't go up on the door and be like, hey, we're from First Baptist Church and we believe all people like you are going to go to hell. You know, that's not what you want to do. That's not true anyway, right? So don't try to criticize their belief. If you find out they're a Catholic, if you find out they're a Jehovah's Witness, if you find out they're a Mormon, if you find whatever their religion is, you're not there to criticize their belief, okay? You're not there to make them mad. You're trying to witness to them. You're trying to establish a testimony with them to be able to share Christ, okay? So don't criticize their beliefs, okay? Obviously, if you're able to carry a conversation with them, and something comes up about the differences in beliefs, you need to go to the Bible, right? But you're not trying to criticize what they believe, right? Jimmy?
So, when I'm at work sometimes, I'll be saying something, is it wrong to say, and we're just talking back and forth, and I'll say, well, that's not what the Bible says, and give them a verse or something about that? Is that, I mean, you kind of mentioned it with what you said last there. Is that, that's not wrong, is it to say, well, the Bible?
No, if you're having a conversation with somebody, and they say, well, I think this. Well, you can always, well, you know the Bible, the Word of God says, this is what the Word of God says, right? And you don't want it to be, well, this is what I think. You always want it to go back to the Word of God, right? So if you're having a conversation with somebody or you're able to share the gospel with them, whatever, and some differences come up, yeah, you go to the Word of God, right? But don't just stand there and criticize their beliefs or whatever. You know, you can tell they're a Catholic, you know. Don't just start going off on, you know, the Pope and, you know, the Catholic Church and infant baptism and all that kind of stuff, okay? The purpose is to try to share Christ with them, okay? Not to walk away thinking, boy, I sure showed them. If that's your attitude, then that's the wrong attitude, right? That should never be the attitude. Boy, I sure showed them. No, that's not it at all, okay? So don't try to criticize their beliefs, all right? Number six, never talk alone with a person of the opposite sex in the house, okay? Again, we kind of talked about this before. If it's a lady by herself, men, don't go in the house. Even if she invites you in or whatever, you know, don't go in the house. You know, especially, you know, if you're alone or something, maybe there's a group of you and you've decided to skip houses or something like that. Don't ever go in the house, you know, by yourself. It doesn't matter if you're man or woman, right? But especially if it's somebody of the opposite sex and they're by themselves, right? If it's a woman all there by themselves, even if it's two guys, don't go in the house, right? Same thing with ladies, right? If there's two ladies and it's a guy by himself, ladies, just don't go in, right? We talked about this before. If they really want to have a conversation, say, hey, can I make an appointment for some, you know, our pastor to come by, or for the pastor's wife to come by, or something like that, right? If you can talk on the porch or where the door's at or whatever, fine. But just don't go in the house, all right? You're trying to keep a good testimony, right? I think even in Romans, let me see here. Let's see. No, that's not the right verse. Never mind. Verse number 6, Romans 14, 16. Let not then your good be evil spoken of, right? You're trying to do something right. You're trying to do something good, okay? And so you don't ever want that to be evil spoken of, okay? So just try to avoid any appearance of anything like that. Ms. Rachel, you had a question?
You answered it.
Okay.
Just how to respond to
if they ask you to go in. Yeah. If they ask you to go in, just say, no, we're okay. You know, we just want to talk out here. You know, if it's bitter cold or something like that, and they say, oh, please come in. You know, say, you know, that's all right. We're just going house to house, inviting people to church. You know, if you're interested, we could have somebody come by maybe a little bit later that could maybe talk to you a little bit more or something. But you just want to try to avoid, you know, now if there's a couple there, sure, go ahead. You know, or if there's more than one person in the house and they invite you in, go for it, right? But if it's somebody of the opposite sex and they're by themselves, it's just always better not to. Now, if you're a couple, if a husband and wife are together, go for it. You know, that's fine, because there's a husband and wife that might be there. But if it's just a guys and a lady, or a ladies and a guy, it's just best not to do that. Okay. Number 7. This isn't something we've talked a lot about, but I would encourage you, never talk to a child under 13 without their parents' permission. Okay. And I know that might be kind of hard to know whether a child is 13 or not, but if you see if it's a young child, right? Especially in the day and age in which we live, it's unfortunate that we live in this society, but a lot of times when people see adults talking to kids on the street or whatever, you know, they begin to think wrong things, okay? Now, if a kid, you knock on a door and a kid comes to the door, the first thing I'll ask is, are your parents home? Are your parents home, or is there an older sibling here? If they say no, then I'll just leave the track with them, and I'll say, hey, we're just from the church. Could you give this to your parents when they get home, or could you give this to your grandparents, whoever it is that they're staying with, okay? If they're there, I'll say, hey, could you go get your parents, you know, or could you get your older siblings or something like that? Again, you just want to be careful talking to young children, okay, without parent consent and permission and things like that, all right? Again, we're just trying to keep a good testimony, all right? Number 8, always be apologetic if you interrupt someone, you know, and if you can tell that you've interrupted them, you know, be apologetic. If you can tell you've woken them up, you know, if maybe they've worked third shift or whatever, and they're sleeping in the middle of the day, or maybe it's whatever, and you've woken them up, be apologetic. Oh, I'm so sorry. I didn't mean to wake you up. You know, it's not like you knew that they were sleeping, right? But be apologetic, right? Again, be sincere. But be apologetic if you can see that you've interrupted them. If they're in the process of making a meal, you know, I'm sorry. I don't want to disturb you. I don't want to keep you long. Just want to give you an invite to our church. Let you know we've got a Christmas program coming up. Let you know we've got an Easter program coming up, whatever. Just want to give you that. I hope you have a good night, right? Again, if you can tell that they're busy doing something, don't try to just keep going on and on and on, right? Because they're not there. They're back with whatever you interrupted, okay? If it's screaming kids and stuff like that, right, it's not going to work, okay? So be considerate, right? Be apologetic if you interrupt them in something, okay? Number 9, never be rude or combative no matter how you're treated, right? Again, if they start arguing with you and people start being rude to you, or they, you know, don't be rude, don't be combative, okay? Again, just be kind, be polite, you know, even if they cuss you out, if they slam the door in your face, you know, I mean, whatever it is, just don't be rude, don't be combative, you know, no matter how you're treated, okay? You know, just have a good night, you know, and just walk away, right? Right? And, you know, obviously you hope that never happens, but again, you just want to have a good testimony. Number 10, always be led by the Holy Spirit, right? You're always wanting to be led by the Holy Spirit and be a good ambassador of the Lord, of God, and your church, right? So always be led by the Holy Spirit. You know, if you're at a door and you've knocked on it and nobody answers, and for whatever reason the Holy Spirit just says, hey, you need to knock again. Well, listen to the Holy Spirit, right? Now, don't stand there for 5 minutes pounding on the door, but again, listen to the Holy Spirit. The other night we were out, last time we were out on outreach, we were going down the street, and I saw a guy that was walking down the street. And I knew we weren't going to meet at the same time, but I just, you know, the Holy Spirit said, hey, you ought to give him a track. You ought to invite him to church. And so, you know, I kind of was like messing with my phone, you know, acting like I was doing something, kind of stalling, waiting for him to get closer. And then as he got a little bit closer, then I kind of started walking again and kind of timed it, though I met him up at the right time, and ended up giving him a track, invited him to church. And so, again, just be led by the Holy Spirit in that. Again, whether it's somebody in the grocery line or the hardware store or the gas station or whatever it might be. But remember, you're an ambassador for the Lord Jesus Christ. You're representing the church. So you always want to make sure you have a good testimony. And then number 11 here, if you've gone out on outreach with us before, you've heard me say this, but number 11 is do not knock on doors with no soliciting signs, right? Don't knock on doors with no soliciting signs. And again, I understand the word soliciting has to do with selling something. And you can say, well, we're not selling anything. And that's true. We're not selling anything, right? But again, the society that we live in has to do, the idea of soliciting means don't knock on my door, basically. Mm-hmm. Okay? And so if it says no soliciting, then just don't go up to the house. You know, you can say, well, I won't knock on the door. I'll just leave it in the door. No, don't do that either. Okay? Again, they're saying we don't want you to come to our house. Okay? They've made it clear. Now, there's been some times where I have got up to the door, and then all of a sudden in the corner I see a no soliciting sign. You know what I do? I turn around and walk away. Right? You say, do you leave the track? No, I don't. Because they have made it very clear they don't want us there, right? And, you know, unfortunately, some have even, if you've ever done Washington Landing, there's a specific house there in Washington Landing that says, no solicitors, what else does it say? No solicitors, no salesmen, no whatever. And then right, it says, no Baptists. That's, yeah, I mean, it's... They got it pretty clear on that one, right? So, yeah, Ms. Rachel?
What do you do if you knock and then you notice the no soliciting sign? Like it's small, because I've seen some where they're like small in the window and then you don't see it until after you knock.
Mm-hmm.
Like what do you do?
Just go ahead and, you know, if you've knocked already, go for it.
Okay.
And if they say something, then you can just say, I'm sorry, I did not see that until after I knocked. I apologize.
Okay.
Again, just be apologetic, right?
I was going to say, when we were in Oklahoma, we knocked on the door, and at the bottom it said no soliciting after we walked away, but when we talked to them, they didn't say anything about it, and we were able to give them the gospel.
Right. Again, some of them, their idea of no soliciting means they don't want salesmen, right? But just for testimony's sake, if it says no soliciting, we just encourage you not to go up to the door. Just don't go up. Yeah.
I saw one that said, we gave it the office, and we already know Jesus.
Right. Yeah. That's true, yeah. It's interesting, some of the signs people put up on their doors and stuff, right? You know, of course, again, there's three groups of people that usually go out door knocking, right, as far as religious people. What are the three religious people?
Mormons,
Jehovah's Witnesses, and Baptists, right? Those are, you know, I don't know that anybody's ever had somebody knock on their door, oh, I'm from the Catholic Church. They don't do that. I'm from the Methodist Church, or I'm from the Episcopalian Church, or I'm from the Presbyterian Church. They don't do that, right? There's three groups that mainly do that, and unfortunately two of them are cults, right? The Jehovah's Witnesses and the Mormons, right? And unfortunately they do a lot better at it than Baptists do, unfortunately, right? So all right, so these are kind of 11 commandments on soul winning, okay? There will be a test on that next week, so make sure you... No, I'm just kidding. No tests, right? Yeah. Two Jehovah Witness guys offered you guys a Sprite?
They even knew what happened, but I mean, that was just like the example that we had, but they even offered us a drink, like, just like Sprite. No, Sprite drank it. So
where did they get a Sprite from?
They were in their house.
Oh, so like you knocked on the door.
Yeah, we knocked on the door.
Oh.
But they said, they were like, yeah, hey, do you guys want something to drink? Because they were like, we know it's rough out there. I don't know what to say.
I mean, I guess if you're thirsty, go for it. I guess if you're thirsty, you can go ahead. Yeah, make sure it's not open when they hand it to you. Yeah, so, okay. All right, any questions on any of these things real quick? Okay, all right. All right, so let's do this. What I want you to do, how many of you still got your paper? Your gospel, like how to lead somebody to the Lord. What happened to mine? Must have taken mine out. I borrowed yours. All right, so. Okay, so here's what I want us to do, right? So, again, last week we were kind of talking and we went through a couple verses, right? We went through Romans 3:10. We went through Romans 3:23. Went through Romans 6:23. Right? We're just kind of explaining these verses, what they mean. When you're explaining verses and things, what should you never do? What type of questions should you never ask?
Yes or no questions.
Don't ask yes or no questions, right? Because if you ask yes or no questions, that doesn't help you to know if they really understand, right? So instead of saying, Luke, do you know what the word righteous means? Yes. Well, how do I know if he really does or not? He could just be, well, I don't want to be stupid. I don't want to act like I'm dumb and I don't know the answer. So, yeah, of course I know what it means. All right. So instead of doing that, say, Luke, what do you think the word righteous means? Right. So I've asked the same question. I'm trying to find out if he understands, but I'm asking him to explain it to me to see if he actually knows what it means. Okay. And so you can do that with every verse. Right. Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, right? You know, the Bible says we're all sinners, right? You know, Kendra, what do you think sin is?
Doing bad things.
Doing bad things, right? What kind of bad things? So again, I'm asking her questions. I'm wanting her, whoever I'm talking to kind of think about what we're saying here. What kind of bad things?
Stealing.
Yeah, stealing's bad. Yeah. What?
Killing.
Killing. Yeah. Yeah. Why are those the first two things that came to your mind? I'm not sure. Right? So then, right? So as you're talking, right, stealing, you know, lying, disobeying, killing, all those things, you can ask them. And you're not trying to be, you know, you can ask them, Kendra, have you ever stolen anything? I am so disappointed in you. Because you're not a liar, right? So I'm asking her, you know, have you ever lied? Have you ever stolen, right? What is the purpose of the question? Am I trying to make her feel guilty? Yes, I am trying to make her feel guilty. I want her to see she's a sinner. Right? No, I'm not trying to make her feel like she's less of a person than I am, because when she says, yeah, I've stolen, yeah, I've lied, I'll be like, you know, I have too, Kendra. I've lied, I've stolen, I've disobeyed, right? We all have. That's why the Bible says, for all have sinned, right? But then it says, and come short of the glory of God. Mm-hmm. What do you think that means, Kendra? What do you think it means when God says that we have come short of the glory of God? You're lost. You are lost. So what do you think it means when it says that we all have sinned and come short of the glory of God? What do you think it means to come short of the glory of God?
We can't do
can't do enough, right? So again, a lot of times, if you're talking with people that are not biblically literate, right? In other words, they haven't read the Bible a lot, they don't go to church. When you ask them, what does it mean to come short of the glory of God? They're, I don't know. What does that mean? What does it mean to come short of the glory of God? Kenneth, what do you think it means to come short of the glory of God? Her mom said she would pay me if I picked on her tonight, so. Might as well make some money off this class, right? I'm telling you. Okay, not as good as God, right? How would you explain that to somebody? How would you explain that we have come short of the glory of God? How? Again, you're talking to somebody who probably doesn't know anything about the Bible, right? So automatically put away Christian terms, right? So what is the way that a person that is lost, that you can help them to say, we've come short of the glory of God? What would be a way to explain that, right? To somebody that doesn't understand Christian terminology, right? Ms. Rachel?
Because we have done wrong, we've already established that they've done wrong. Because we've done wrong, we cannot go to God because He is perfect. We fall short of that.
Okay. So that means we can't go to Him in prayer? We can't pray then? Can't go to God? You just said I couldn't go to God. Again, I'm trying to make you think here, right? I'm trying to make you think. How would you explain this to somebody that doesn't really know anything about the Bible and stuff, right? Levi?
We can't do enough good to earn our way to heaven.
Okay, we can't do enough good to earn our way to heaven, right? Brian?
You can start by explaining what the glory of God is and then go off from that.
Okay, what's the glory of God? Come short of the glory of God. Again, you're trying to help. You're trying to get them to think of something, right? You're trying to help them understand it. What do you think, Luke?
Because we talked about how you've lied, you've done these things, we've sinned, and because God hasn't sinned, His standard to be saved, to get into heaven, is not sinning. So if you have sinned, if I have sinned, we are not good enough. We can't reach the same glory that God has. We're not as good as God. We don't meet the standard that He set.
Okay. So we just a minute ago explained Romans 3:10, right? There's none righteous, no, not one. It means God is perfect, right? In other words, because we are sinners, we can't meet God's standard of perfection, right? We can't meet God's standard of perfection. So what is a way, an illustration or something you can use to help somebody understand that, right? Again, remember what Jesus did. Jesus used that which was physical to help explain spiritual things, right? The more you can use physical illustrations and things to explain spiritual things, it's going to help these people understand it, right? That's why, how many parables did Jesus use? What is a parable? It's an earthly story, right? Now, He's teaching a spiritual principle, but He's using an earthly story, right? So in your experience, right, in your life, okay, what is something that you could use to say, you know, hey, there was a standard that was here, and in order, I either had to reach that standard or I failed that standard. Every one of you have done this before. A test. Every one of us has taken a test. And in order to pass the test, you have to reach a certain mark, right? Now, it's gone down a whole lot, right? But there is a certain mark, there's a certain percentage of questions you have to get right in order to pass the test, right? When you're in school, everybody had a test. Everybody took a test, right? And in order to pass, you had to meet a certain mark, right? If you did not meet that mark, what happened? You failed. That's what God is saying. We cannot meet the mark that God has established, which is perfection. We have failed. Why? Because of our sin, right? So I'm trying to use something that they're going to understand to explain something spiritual, right? So again, you're trying to help them understand that, right? So for all have sinned, come short of the glory of God, Romans 3:23. What is sin? We've come short of the glory of God, all right? So here's what I want you to do. I want everybody to find a partner somewhere, right? Everybody find a partner, pair up with somebody, okay? Right? Everybody get somebody. Katie, how about you and April? Right? Let's see. Michael, you got anybody?
We were going to be, but it doesn't matter.
Let's see. You got somebody? All right, how about Jeff and Michael? Jeff, can you just maybe come over here so he doesn't have to move so much, right? And then Miss Anito, how about you and Miss Terry there, right? Okay. Miss Emily, didn't even see you back there, all right? Is there anybody else that needs a partner, or has everybody got one? Everybody's got a partner?
You can come be in our group.
All right, Miss Emily, why don't you come back here with Miss Rachel and Miss Kaylin, okay? Right? Just hop in there, okay? So this is what I want you to do. I want you to think like what we've been doing, and I want you to take the next verse, right, which is Romans chapter 5, verse number 8. Romans 5:8, right, on your paper here. It says, but God commendeth his love toward us, and that while we're yet sinners, Christ died for us. Okay? I want you to take that verse, and I want one of you, right, who's going to be number one in your group? Raise your hand if you're going to be number one. Raise your hand if you're going to be number one. I need to see. Put a finger up in the air if you're number one. I need to see everybody. Right? Everybody got it? Everybody got one? Has everybody got a number one? Who's number one? You number one? Who's number one? Number one? Okay. All right. So whoever's number one, you raise your hand, you're number one. I want you to take that verse, and just like what we did, just did, right? The person that's next to you, I want you to take this verse, and I want you to ask them questions about this verse to try to help them understand it, right? Whoever's number two, raise your hand if you're number two, you are lost, okay? Right? Whoever is number two is lost, right? You're the lost person, okay? So I want you to take verse Romans 5:8, and I want you to try to explain that to them, okay? But in explaining it to them, ask them questions to see if they understand, okay? So again, number two, you're lost, okay? Don't, you know, this isn't silly time, whatever, you know, just kind of remember what it was like to be lost, okay? All right? So number one, you're going to explain it. So just take a couple minutes, right, as if you were trying to witness to somebody, all right? So take Romans 5:8, if you want to just use the paper here, if you want to open up your Bible, whatever you want to do, but take that and then try to explain that to the person. Explain that to person number two, right? Okay. Go for it.
So Romans 5:8, the Bible says, but God commendeth his love towards us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Now I know there's a few big words in there. Do you know what commendeth means?
Right? Mm-hmm.
Hey, you two are goofing off back here. Quit that. She's not a good sinner.
It's my turn. She'll be loved when they give me everything I want.
What do you think you have to do to be saved?
Well,
Again, you're just doing Romans 5:8. Just do Romans 5:8. All right. All right. So somebody tell me. Somebody tell me what was a question that you asked person number two about the verse. God commendeth his love toward us, and that while we're yet sinners, Christ died for us. You told them this verse. What was a question that you asked them to see if they're understanding what this verse means? McKenna? Oh, what was the question you asked? Good. Does she know what commendeth means, right? How many of you asked that question? Do you know what commendeth means? Good. Very good. Right? Because again, you're talking somebody that probably doesn't understand Bible terms and things. So what does the word commendeth mean? Right? The word commendeth means to show. Right? God showed his love toward us. Right? Okay? Very good. That's a great, they need to understand what the word means, right? So what was another question you asked?
Why he actually had to die for us.
Okay. Very good. God commendeth his love toward us, and that while we're yet sinners, Christ died for us. Why did Christ have to die for us? Very good, right? Miss Rachel?
I asked them while we were yet sinners. Like, what did they think that meant? Like, while we were yet sinners, why did Christ die for us? But I used that. Does that make sense?
Okay. All right. Brian? Okay. Yep. Showing us all their sinners. Okay. A lot of times we think, well, I just don't think I could explain the verse. But if you just take one verse at a time and just go through it slowly, you can explain it. Especially when you're asking questions to see if they can understand it. Right. All right. So who's number two? Who's number two? Right. So number two, you might need your Bible for this one. Right. If you're number two, you might need your Bible. I want you to explain Romans 5:12. It's not on the paper here. I want you to explain Romans 5:12. Romans 5:12 says, "Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned." Right? So I want you to take Romans 5:12, okay? And I want you to take a couple minutes. Again, just stick with that verse, right? Some of you are trying to go through the whole Romans road in 2 minutes. No names. Luke, which I'm not sure how you were able to do that, because I heard the questions that Jimmy was asking. He's like, well, why? 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 I'm not sure how you got through that many, but yeah. Why? Right? So take Romans 5:12, whoever is number two, take Romans 5:12, read the verse with them, and then ask them some questions about Romans 5:12. Okay? Ready? Go.
Thank you.
Okay. All right. Somebody tell me a question that you asked. And by the way, I still hear some of you asking yes or no questions. Don't ask yes or no questions, okay? If you ask a yes or no question, you're not really finding out if they understand, okay? Don't ask yes or no questions, okay? So tell me a question that you asked them to see if they were understanding. Ms. Leah? Yeah. What? Yes, no.
Do you know?
Oh.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Right, okay. So do you know who that one person is that this verse is talking about, right? Now, this is a question that you could ask a yes or no on, okay? Because if they say yes, what are you going to say? You're going to say, who is it, right? If they say no, then you're going to explain it anyway. But even if they say yes, you're going to be like, well, who do you think that is, right? So again, there are, when I say don't ask yes or no questions, I'm meaning don't just ask, do you understand? Do you know what this means, right? Because again, you've got to dig deeper. Yeah, Tom? Well, that's not the way the Bible looks at it, right? God says that responsibility was given to the man, right? So here's the thing, right? Why is this verse so important? Why is this verse so important? And it doesn't matter usually where I go or who I talk to. This is a verse that I will use usually every single time I talk to somebody and giving the gospel. Why is this verse so important, McKenna? Okay, sin causes death. That's true, right? Yep. There's more to it, though. Ms. Rachel?
It shows that just because Adam sinned, like, it didn't stop with him. It went to every person.
Okay. Yep. It's hereditary. That's our nature, right? Keeps going, right? Still not it, though. Michael?
Well, it covers the basis that we were all, covers the basis that we were all sinners and that we are all the same.
Yes, it's showing us that we're all sinners. But here's the thing about this verse that is so important that you can use, right? Because when you go back and say we're all sinners because of one man, right? Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world and death by sin. Yes, death has passed upon all sin. We're going to get to that. But one of the things that I'm going to go to is I'm going to go back to Adam. I'm going to ask them, right? Because I want them to see how impossible it is for us to earn our salvation, right? Was there any sin in the world when Adam and Eve was in the garden?
No.
How many commands did God give to Adam and Eve?
One.
So there's no sin in the world. They're not affected by sin. And they were only given one command, not to eat of this one tree. Did they keep it?
No.
So then how do we think, who are affected by sin and live in a sin-cursed world, how do we think we can keep all these other commandments when they couldn't even keep one and they weren't even affected by sin?
Right.
Right? So I'm using this verse, Romans 5:12, to really help them understand how impossible it is for someone to try to think that they can do something to earn their salvation. When Adam and Eve, who were in a perfect environment, there was no sin, was given one simple command, don't eat from this one tree, and they couldn't even do that, right? So I'm going to use this to help them understand that there's nothing, right, that we can do to try to earn it if they couldn't even keep one command, okay? So I want you to be familiar with these verses, okay? The more familiar you are with explaining these verses, the easier it becomes in explaining them, okay? Because as soon as you go to it, right, over and over and over again, as soon as you go to it, you know what you're going to say about this verse. What do you think this means? Do you understand what it means, commendeth? Do you understand what the word commendeth means? No, I don't. Well, the word commendeth means to show. God showed his love toward us, right? Even while we were yet sinners, right? So even though we were sinners, God still loved us and he showed his love for us, right? So you're going to use these verses, explain them, so be familiar with them, okay? Next week we'll do a little bit more of this. So be familiar with them, and I'll have you partner up with different people other than just the people you're sitting with, right? But be familiar with some of those things, okay? All right, make sure you get a track. Anybody give out a track this past week? All right, a few of you? Okay, very good. All right, make sure you get a track. Give one out this week, okay? All right, you're dismissed.